Let's go to Daniel chapter 4 tonight. Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to have you stand. We're going to read part of the chapter, and then I'll have you be seated. It's a lengthy chapter, and I may go ahead then and finish reading the entire chapter after you're seated. Daniel chapter number 4, and we'll look in verse number 1. What an amazing chapter. What an amazing story. I'm so glad that God included this story in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you why when we get into the message. But folks, you know, sometimes when we feel like things are out of control and we begin to question whether or not God is paying attention or whether he's lost the handle on these things, let me just tell you this. This kind of a chapter is a good chapter to go to just build your faith back up. And especially with the events that's happened in the last handful of days here in the United States of America. I wasn't in the pulpit on Sunday to make much comment about the attempted assassination of President Trump. And my goodness sakes, folks, I don't know about you, but that just sent chills up and down my spine. And, you know, you step back sometimes, take a step back and think, how in the world did America get to where we are today? But I hope to be an encouragement to you, but also to say some things that I think need to be said that'll help our church survive the rest of this electoral season. Amen. Daniel chapter number 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king and all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord, to have our faith strengthened. And Lord, thank you for the truths that you've taught this preacher from this chapter. And I pray, Lord, that you can help me to relay these truths, dear God, in an understandable fashion, in a very biblical fashion tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you very much. Once you get settled, look at verse 10. That's where we left off. And let's continue reading. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit, and let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, but thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, and for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now notice Daniel's reaction, verse 19. Have you started daydreaming? Are you into the story? Are you paying attention? Are you focused? Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar, by the way, Belshazzar, if you didn't pick up on that, is Daniel. It is Nebuchadnezzar's name for Daniel. Belshazzar answered and said, O Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height was reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, notice what he says here at the end. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All of this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven. Of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails, that's his fingernails, like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and all his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, dear God. Help this preacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think there's some things that you can learn. And I think at this time in America's history and where we find ourselves at this moment, it would be good probably for every Christian. It might be good for every preacher to take their people to Daniel chapter number 4. Folks, we do live in uncertain times. I have been in contact with a lot of people over the last few days, some of them calling in, some of them shaken by the events of the last week. I went out and knocked doors in our community for about 2.5 hours this afternoon, and you know what people wanted to talk about? You know what people wanted to ask a preacher about? What in the world's going on in America? And you know what? I told one lady this. I said, I'm not exactly sure all of the reasons we've gotten where we've gotten, but I know how we can get back to where we should be. And I quoted to her 2 Chronicles 7:14. And folks, listen to me. You know what? America, I think God has given a little bit of a wake-up call too. And this story, and from this story, I think that there are some things that will strengthen your faith. And by the way, we're going to eventually get to the answer that I posed tonight. This is the name of the message: who will be our next president? And I can give you a biblical answer to that. There's some things we need to learn. Let me give you some of them this morning or this evening. Number one, listen, folks, let's be reminded of this. There are no elections in heaven. There are no elections in heaven. Did you read with me the first 3 verses? Let's go back and look at them. Nebuchadnezzar the king. I'm sorry, I went to the wrong chapter. Chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. Now notice what he has learned, folks, as he's now relaying this story. Verse 3, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And then when we got to the end of the chapter, verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, folks, we seem to run into these presidential elections every 4 years, but I want to just kind of do a little review with you that I hope will help you. I was born in 1961, August of 1961, so when I was born, on the day I was born, Dwight D. Eisenhower was the president of the United States. Within just a few months, John F. Kennedy was president of the United States from 1961 to 1963 until he was assassinated. Lyndon B. Johnson then was president from 1963 to 1969. Richard Nixon became president in 1969 and served till he resigned in 1974. Gerald Ford then became president from 1974 to 1977. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president, he was in office from 1977 to 1981. And then Ronald Reagan became president from 1981 to 1989. George Bush then became president from 1989 to 1993. And then Bill Clinton from 1993 to 2001. George W. Bush from 2001 to 2009. And then Barack Obama from 2009 to 2017, Donald Trump from 2017 to 2021, and Joe Biden from 2021 to our present time. How about that? Did I get that right? I hope so. All right, let me explain, folks, something that I think will help you. When I was born in 1961, God was on his throne in heaven. From 1961 to 1963, God was still on his throne in heaven. From 1963 to 1969, God was still on his throne in heaven. From 1969 to 1974, God was still on his throne in heaven. From 1974 to 1977, God was still on his throne in heaven. 1977 to 1981, God was still on his throne. He was there from 1981 to 1989 while Ronald Reagan was president. And from 1989 to 1993 when George Bush was president. From 1993 to 2001 when Bill Clinton was president. He was on his throne from 2001 to 2009 and from 2009 to 2017 and 2017 to 2021. And from 2021 for all eternity forward, God will always be on his throne. Now, folks, I want to encourage God's people. Don't let the affairs of men and sometimes the ups and downs that come with the affairs of men ever cause you to lose faith in the fact that God still sits on his throne. You know, when an angel appeared to Mary, I liked what she said when she told him about the fact that she was going to bear the Christ child. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end, no end." So, folks, I guess I wanted to come to the pulpit and just encourage our church a little bit tonight. Preacher, what if and what if and what if? Well, I don't know. I don't know what would have happened if the assassin would have been successful. And I don't know. People are coming to me and say, "Preacher, are they going to make another attempt on his life? And do you think he'll even live to the election?" And you know, the things down here are so unsure. But I will tell you this. There's one thing that's sure. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of heaven. I can assure you of that, that God is never going to vacate his throne, no matter what is going on down here on this earth. So number one, there are no elections in heaven, so don't worry about what's going on up there. Number two, listen to this. The Most High still rules in the kingdom of men. Now, three times we were reminded of that in this portion of Scripture. If you go to Daniel chapter 4 and look at verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. Still have your Bible open. The last part of the verse, "to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." Now, folks, not just in the kingdom of heaven. He rules where? According to the Bible, King James Holy Bible, in the kingdom of what?
Men.
In the kingdom of men also. Listen, God's just not ruling above. And he's incapable of reaching down and having sway down here. God is completely in charge in heaven. He's completely in charge on earth. He ruleth in the kingdom of men. Look at verse number 25, the last part of that verse. "Till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." And then in the end of verse number 32, "until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." Now, folks, let's remember this. God is still in control. He's still on his throne in heaven, but he's still in control of the affairs of men. Matter of fact, he was so insistent that Nebuchadnezzar learned this lesson that he repeated it three times, told him what he was going to do in advance, and then did it. And you know what? He let him wander the fields as a beast eating grass. Come on, his hair growing like eagle's feathers, his toenails and his fingernails growing out like bird's claws, and he was going to leave him in that state till he came to this realization. God not only reigns in heaven, but he reigns amongst the kingdom of men. And so I think we need to hear that, you know, because I think sometimes, folks, we get so worried, and we get at the kids. By the way, you know, we've watched AJ's kids and Tabitha's kids while they're helping with the teens in this week at teen camp. And you know what, folks? This stuff is on the TV set, and I'm catching up on Fox News, and sometimes I forget that the children wander in, and they're sitting there, and they want to know why why did Mr. Trump have blood on his ear and what exactly happened? And you know, we've got to be careful. We try to shelter and shield them a little bit from this, but folks, it's all over the place, and they hear it and they hear us talking about it. And so we got to deal with that carefully. But I sometimes worry about our kids when we go through something like this. Listen, I wasn't very old when John F. Kennedy got shot. But you know what? I can still remember even as a young boy. Now, not so much maybe the exact day it happened, but in the years ahead as they would replay that, I remember as a young boy that shaking me a bit and thinking to myself, well, what can we count on? What's going to happen next? And children, I just want to remind you, God's not only in charge in heaven, but God's in charge here on earth. And, you know, somebody said, well, preacher, what if? And preacher, I mean, if he'd have turned his head just a little bit differently, and I've even seen diagrams of this that people have sent me, that, you know, his head tilted this way, and it comes through the top of his ear going this way, and if he'd have just tilted his head that much more, what if? Well, folks, listen to me. Let me tell you something, okay? It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Well, why did that assassin miss him? Because God said it wasn't Donald Trump's time yet. And by the way, folks, when it is Donald Trump's time, all of the branches of military could surround him. And you know what? God would still take him. And so it's just kind of nice to know who's really in charge here and that God is in charge. But God is not only on the throne in heaven, still on the throne in heaven, but God also rules with absolute authority in the affairs of men on earth. Now, how much does he reign? How much control does he have down here, preacher? I mean, I've heard preachers say, yeah, but the devil's the prince and power of the air. Yeah, I understand that. And you know what? Let me just show you, because I think maybe we need to see it tonight. Now, mark your place. We got to be back there in Daniel 4. But why don't you go back to the book of Job? Let's just see just how much of God is in control in the affairs of men down here on earth. Job chapter number 1, we're introduced to Job from verse number 1, and then told about a little bit about his family and a little bit about his possessions, and then we get all the way down to verse number 6, and then the camera shifts from earth, where we're learning about Job, and it goes up to heaven, and we get to see something, folks, that not many times in the Bible we're allowed to see. In chapter 1, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Notice who else is there. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Aren't you glad that the devil, I said the devil, come on, this big prince and power of the air, the devil has to still go to God and get a permission slip before he can touch one of his children. Hey, I want you to think about that before you go to bed tonight, church. You know what? I'm sorry, but the devil don't get to do just whatever he wants to do. And you know what? If God allows it, he has a purpose for it. But folks, he can't do anything if God doesn't allow it. This is something I've said from the pulpit, and I'm saying it around the country. Folks, I think we give the devil more credit than he deserves. Folks, he is a defeated foe. He can't even win a victory unless we hand it to him. He can't do anything to us unless he gets a permission slip from God. I just want to remind everybody here that not only is God in control in heaven, but he's in control here on earth also. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I can lay my head on my pillow and trust a loving heavenly Father that he's going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of my wife, and he's going to take care of my kids, and he's going to take care of my grandkids. And you know what? There's not going to be anything touching on one of them unless God says that it can. And he wouldn't do that unless he wanted to work some good out of it. And you can say the same thing for your family also. And so we see, first of all, that there are no elections in heaven, and that the Most High still ruleth in the kingdom of men. Number three, I'm going to answer the question now. You say, preacher, wait a minute. You sent out on the text, who will be our next president? Number three, our next president will be whoever God sets up over us. Whoever God sets up over us. Look, if you will, again in verse number 17. And let's just keep, I'm going to repeat this a few times. We may look at these verses quite a bit tonight. Notice at the end of it, it says that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. We established that. But notice what it says next. And giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. And as I was going down through those list of presidents, I thought, yeah, there's been a few times he's found some pretty base men. But you know what? He still made the decision. Think about that. And then in verse number 25, till at the end of it there, the end of the verse, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Verse number 32. Hey, if I was a Christian here tonight, I think I'd just take a pen and I'd just circle verse number 17. Just put a big circle around it. Then go to verse 25 and put a big circle around it. Verse 32, put a big circle around it. Preacher, I don't want to mark it up that way. Then carefully take a card and underline it for some of you. For me, I'm just circling these verses so that every time my Bible plops open in Daniel chapter 4, I'm reminded of something. God's still on the throne, folks. He's still on the throne. And he not only controls all the affairs of what goes on in heaven, but he controls all of the affairs of what goes here on earth. And you know what, folks? I don't know for sure. I can't give you a name as far as who the next president will be. I don't know, brother, if Mr. Trump will be alive by the next election. By the way, I don't know if Mr. Biden will be alive. By the way, I don't know if me and you will be alive by the next election, you know. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Get us out of here. I'm ready to go. But I know this, you know what? Whoever becomes the next president of the United States is going to be who God sets up. He says he set them up. Look at verse 32 at the end of the verse. How about this? Until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Watch this. And giveth it to whomsoever he will. It is God who giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, folks, listen, let me just kind of help you. That doesn't mean that we are relieved of our responsibilities. That does not mean that we shouldn't do all of the right things. And what are the right things as we get closer to the election? Well, folks, I got up here in June and said, come on, this is prayer month at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Maybe for the rest of the world. It's Pride Month, but at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's going to be Prayer Month. I think we need to be praying. Hey, I cut out some more of those cards and stuck them back there just for the handful of you that thought, thank goodness that's over, and threw it in the trash. I want you to go back and pick another one up, because let's make July Prayer Month. Then let's make August Prayer Month. Let's make September Prayer Month. Let's make November. Hey, I think we need to make November Prayer Month. And then no matter who God sets up, because it's going to be his decision who he sets up, then I'm just going to go ahead and make December Prayer Month. And then we'll just go ahead and make the next year, come on, we'll make the next year the year of prayer and just keep it going and keep it rolling. Pray, pray, pray. You know, folks, I kind of said just real quick about this on Sunday. But, you know, God moved your preacher's heart and in the end of May. And I came up and I said, let's make June the month of prayer. And I appreciate every single person that took it and took it seriously and engaged in. I want to ask you a question. For those of you that really said, okay, preacher, maybe I should have prayed a little bit more. But, man, I did. I prayed extra. I prayed over that card. I prayed 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I took it serious. Listen, when I got my phone buzzed and I looked down and all of a sudden there's some kind of alert, some kind of thing about a story and, What about Mr. Trump? And I flipped on and I thought, you know, folks, there's so many bogus things that's put on the internet. And that's why every once in a while I got to get up and caution Christians. There's been so many stupid things that have been put on the internet since this happened that has no basis in fact. there were things that are being put on there so quickly afterwards that nobody could have known yet. And if you're not careful, come on, and this is why I say when people send me stuff, I just want to text back, verify, verify, verify. Because there's people that spend their full, I mean this, their full-time amusement is creating fake stories and sticking it on the internet to see how far, I'm sorry, a lot of times it's Christians, will run with the thing. Before then, they have a good laugh and say, what a bunch of dummies. And just don't read anything that pops up and just believe everything that pops up. I'm just skeptical by nature. I'll just be honest. I've had to learn to be skeptical by nature. I have to learn to be very guarded by nature. I mean, people leave messages on the answering machine all the time. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes here, but folks, I just tell you, I'm so careful, and I want to verify, and I want to know, and I want to make sure. And because people, they try to work you, they try to work a church. Come on, folks, have some discernment in life. Don't just jump on whatever bandwagon rolls through the auditorium, okay? Because you're going to keep looking silly if you do it. But listen, so this pops up. That was free, by the way. That it really would help a lot of you, though. It keeps some of you from wanting to jump off the cliff half the time. Then, you know, once you jumped off the cliff over, 2 days later it would come up that it was not true anyway. But, you know, as I'm looking at this, so, you know, I start going to other news sources, and all of a sudden, man, this is real. This actually happened. And then all of a sudden the pictures start coming out. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're all sitting there going, you know, is he okay? What has happened here? And you have this iconic Trump moment, you know, where he gets back up on his feet after he gets his shoes. Now, some of you may not understand why that was important, but for Jerry Ross, that would have been important too. I'm not walking to the SUV in my stocking feet. You're going to wait till I put my shoes on, okay? That's just Jerry Ross. So I totally got that part of it. And then, you know, you say, well, he took advantage of the situation. Listen, let me just share something with all of you, okay? I don't care how you think you would react in a moment like that. Nobody knows how you will react in a moment like that. I mean, there are very few, if any of us in this room that's been shot at. Very few, if any of us in that room been shot at and hit. You don't know how you're going to react in a moment like that. And what I thought I saw after that, I will tell you this, okay, whether you liked his reaction or didn't like his reaction, it was authentic because you can't plan that. Okay, if I ever get shot through the ear, this is how I'm going to respond. No, you don't get to practice that one, okay, in front of the mirror. It was authentic. And, again, folks, listen. I want somebody in the White House that if there is a crisis can stand up and respond with courage. That's who I want. That's who I want. And if you want to have a discussion about the things that you don't like about former President Trump, I'll sit down and drink a coffee with you and agree with most of them. But I'm just here to tell you, folks, you know what? Nebuchadnezzar, God put him in too. Okay, and I can take you back to a lot of kings of Israel that had a lot of flaws, but God, who puts them in? We're going to get to it. Who puts them in? Who sets them up? God does. God does, and he has purposes. But listen, I'm kind of going through all this to say this. One of the first thoughts I had was this. I'm sure glad I took June, the month of June, and prayed. I'm going to pray the month of July. I don't know. We may get to heaven and find out that it was just the prayers. I'm not saying the prayers of one church, but I'm glad that we're leading in this. I haven't heard of another church in America that's decided to turn Pride Month into Prayer Month. I've heard of several that are planning to do it next year because of what we did. And you know, it's going to start somewhere. Okay, I mean that. It's going to start somewhere. Okay, maybe let's just say it was just the voices of one church. Well, aren't you glad you prayed? Aren't you glad you prayed? And that's why I'm saying, folks, listen, I'm not saying, okay, God's going to set up whoever he wants so we don't have any responsibilities. Yes, we do. I'm not a Calvinist. But if I believed what the Calvinists say they believe, I'd still go soul winning. and I'd still run buses, and I'd still preach the gospel. You know why? Because God commanded me to. And there's some things we're commanded to do, folks, no matter what our ideology is. And one of the things, listen, I can believe in the sovereignty of God and still pray. And I'll stand before God and answer if I didn't pray. Let me just say this. I don't think I have to tell this crowd here, but don't you sit on the sidelines. Don't you not vote. And if you're not going to vote, don't come tell me about it, because you're not going to like my response, okay? Because once again, you know what, folks? Hey, we have a responsibility as an American citizen to pray and to vote. And number three, listen, I think Christians, okay, please listen to me. If you want to get mad, get mad. But you say, I don't think preachers ought to be involved in politics. Well, tell Moses that. Okay, tell Abraham that. What's Daniel doing in Nebuchadnezzar's court having a godly influence? By the way, named John the Baptist preached against the sins of his day, against the sins of the politicians. Now, I'm sorry, but that sounds real super spiritual, but it's unbiblical. I believe with all my heart, Christians need to get involved in politics. I'm not saying necessarily you ought to run, although I do think some Christians need to run for office. I really do. But I do believe that even if God hasn't called you to run, you know what? We ought to take a look. Come on. I'm talking about people right here in this room. I think all of us ought to take a look in the mirror and say, how can I, next election, if I haven't done it, it's too late now or whatever, how can I actively get involved with campaigning for or supporting the right kind of candidates? I don't think we can sit on the sideline anymore. Okay, preacher, have you done that? I absolutely done it. I've done it for many elections. I went and knocked on doors and talked to people about a candidate that you say, you done that? Yes, I've done that, yes. I talked to people about a candidate that I believe in, that I know is going to go up and stand in our state house and fight against the abortion crowd and fight against the transgender crowd and protect my grandchildren from having a man in a skirt follow them into the bathroom. Now, you want to complain about it, but what are we going to do about it, okay? And I really do think that each and every one of us needs to say to ourselves, hey, you know what, let's stop hiding behind this. I was knocking on the door. I don't remember what section I was in. I'm in all of them about, seems like, most years. But I knocked on the door, and a guy came to the door, and I invited him to church, and he didn't want to take the packet. And he said, you know, you Baptist churches are notorious for getting into politics, and I think you ought to just keep your nose out of the politics. And I said to him, well, that sounds real good, except that it's unbiblical. I said, that's your opinion, but that's not what the Bible teaches us. And I just start going down the list I gave, you know, and added more. And he got about halfway through the list and decided he was done talking to me, you know. But, you know, by the way, I did my section. I remember where I am, because I keep going on rabbit trails, and I don't even know where I'm at now yet, so get me back there. Actively campaigning, I just want to make an announcement. This Operation Occupation, it's working. It's working, okay? How do you know it's working? Because we've gone through the entire cycle probably four or five times, depending on what section it is. And now when I'm knocking on doors, and I was doing it today, we finally got to the place where religious lost people are ticked off and telling me off at the door on a regular basis. That's when I know we've been effective in knocking on their door a number of times. By the way, lost people, they always seem glad to see me, and I don't have a problem with them. Born again Christians, I never have a problem with them. You know, even if they're not out doing it, they seem to be glad that I'm out doing it. But a bunch of religious lost people are the ones that give you an attitude while you're out knocking on doors. Okay, that was free. Okay, had to get that off my chest a little bit, you know. Listen, this doesn't relieve us of our responsibility, but do not despair. Listen, I want to just say, the preacher, who's going to win? And I don't know. I know it'll be the one that God sets up. But do not despair if the person you vote for does not win. Folks, God is still in charge. And by the way, did we not just read this? And he sometimes sets up in positions of authority the basest of men. Now, you say, why in the world did Biden win last time? And, you know, a bunch of us want to jump up and say, because they cheated. You know. Well, maybe they did. But all I know is the Most High set up who he allowed to be there, okay? And you know, you take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Hey, God's trying to accomplish some things in the United States of America. And you know, God's given us some good presidents. And you know what? Can I just tell you what my observation has been? Every time we get a good president in there that at least is going to protect our freedoms, and then the church just relaxes for 4 years and doesn't do much. Come on. And then we get in a panic again when the wrong person gets in there. Well, maybe God just needs to keep us in a panic. That's all right. That's all right. Amen. And you know, I don't know all the purposes. You know, why did God allow Bill Clinton? Why did God allow Barack Obama? Why, you know what? Sometimes I wonder, is God just giving us what we deserve? How about that? I don't think any of us could point a finger of accusation against God and say he's been unfair. If anything, we ought to fall on our face and thank him for how merciful he's been to the United States of America. But folks, I just want you to understand, preacher, who will be our next president? Whoever God sets up, he will give it to whomsoever he will. Now, this does not relieve us of our responsibility. Folks, let's pray. Let's get out there and vote. Hey, by the way, let's get more active in politics as far as campaigning and supporting the right candidates. Maybe more good men would run if they got the kind of support that they needed and encouragement that they needed. And sometimes God may just, despite all that we do, say, no, I know what America needs. And you know what? They just need 4 years of somebody that's the basest of men, because the church needs to wake up. And Christians need to stop sitting around being so comfortable. We need to get on our knees again and pray again, seek God's face again, and turn from our wicked ways again. Think about that. Let me give you the last point. Our national leaders need to learn something from Nebuchadnezzar. Our national leaders need to learn something from Nebuchadnezzar. Now, folks, King Nebuchadnezzar was not the president of the United States. He was the ruler of the known world. He was a bigger shot than the president of the United States. And there's some things that God said, okay, hot shot, okay, big boy, there's some things you better understand. And a year before judgment came, God sent a dream. God sent a dream into his life. There's some things that Nebuchadnezzar learned over the next 12 months and then over the next 7 years. You know what he learned? He learned that God has set watchers over all national leaders. Now think about that. That's the Bible term, watchers. God has set watchers over all national leaders. Verse 13 through 14, and I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven, and he cried aloud. Look, if you will, in verse number 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. Now, you say, preacher, who are these watchers? I don't know. There's some type of an angelic created being that I think God puts in place to personally observe all of the activities of every national leader. You know, I'm not going to take the time, but we can go back to Genesis chapter 18, and God sent two angels and stopped by to see Abraham first. And then they went on to Sodom, and the Bible said this, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. I will know. And you know what? I know, again, I'm not going to try to, you know, hash out all the doctrinal difficulties that come along with this. I know God's omniscient. I know he's all-knowing. But I also know Daniel chapter 4 tells me he's got watchers. Yes. Hey, you know what, President Biden better remember? God set a watcher over him. And if Donald Trump gets back in for a second term, God's going to set a watcher over him. I don't think he just sets a watcher over him. I think he sets a watcher over the vice president. I think he sets a watcher over the Speaker of the House. Listen, anybody that's put into a position of God-given authority, you know what? God has a watcher. And these watchers, think about this. The matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy One. So God has set watchers over all national leaders. Well, preacher, they're getting by with this and they're getting by with that. And the average American don't know this and they don't know that and they don't know this. And this has been done behind closed door. Well, the watchers see it all. The watchers see it all. Number two, this is something that our national leaders need to learn from, some things from Nebuchadnezzar. Number two, God has given our nation men of God whose warnings need to be heeded. Whose warnings need to be heeded. Now, if you look at verse number 27, after Daniel gives the interpretation. By the way, you know what? Daniel, for an entire hour. Now, I want you to think about this. Nebuchadnezzar, an hour's a long time, folks, when you're waiting for a response from somebody. May not seem long, but you stand there for an hour, okay? So Nebuchadnezzar, he lays out all his entire dream, and then he just watches Daniel look astonished. And for 1 hour, he's just staring off as if he's seen something. And for an hour, this is Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the world. For an entire hour, he doesn't interrupt Daniel's thoughts. And finally, he says to Belshazzar, or to Daniel, he said, hey, you know what? Say what you're seeing. Don't be afraid. Tell me the truth. I'm paraphrasing. Tell me the truth. Tell me what this dream means. And, you know, even in that portion of Scripture, he says something about the idea that, my Lord, verse 19, and my Lord, the dreams be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. And it's almost like it vexed Daniel's soul. He didn't want to tell the king. And even in verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, folks, you know what? There was a Nebuchadnezzar, but there was a Daniel. And there's a Joe Biden, but there's men of God that God has placed in pulpits across America. And I just want to say this. A nation should not underestimate the importance of men of God and the message that they preach. Oh, I'm just praying that we can get a president one of these days that will go to church on Sunday and go to a Bible preaching church on Sunday. I'd like to have a president once again that would get up every morning and open his Bible before he talks to anybody, would open his Bible and hear from God and then get on his knees and talk to God. Wouldn't that be something? But folks, you know what? Our national leaders can learn some things from Nebuchadnezzar. Number three, as president, a man best stay humble before God. They best stay humble before God. Look at verse number 28. Notice this. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now, for 12 months, folks, for 12 months, I'm going to tell you something. I think that dream had a lingering effect. I think it tempered his spirit. I think it toned down his pride. But you know, aren't we, come on, have you ever had something that God brought into your life that scared you real bad and kept you on the straight and narrow for a while? How long does it take us to forget it? So 12 months later, verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And folks, wow, it's in the next verse. Matter of fact, the Bible says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. You know, folks, leadership and the opportunity to be given by God any measure of human authority, human leadership, it ought to be an introduction to humility, not a doorway to pride. You know, the Bible still says in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, whereof he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Okay, I'm going to say something. Some of you Trumpsters are going to be upset with me. I believe with all of my heart there was a reason God didn't give Donald Trump 2 consecutive terms. And I think the number one reason was his arrogance. I don't care who you are. You lift yourself up with pride and God will knock you down. By the way, I've watched former President Trump walk into the Republican National Convention Monday night. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I turned it on to watch that. And I noticed it. The commentators spoke about it. I don't know how this has changed him. But I don't think anybody can come that close to death without it doing something to you. And they just said there was just kind of a calmness and a, not a weakness, but a humility about him and an appreciation for the fact that he was there. And maybe some of you saw the same thing. But you know what my prayer was this: God, just let him stay that way going forward. Okay, Donald Trump don't care what Jerry Ross thinks. But if I had 5 minutes with him, well, that's not true. If I had 5 minutes with him, I'd share the gospel with him, make sure he was saved. But if he asked me for any political advice, I'd say, you know what, folks, this is good advice for all of us. Don't run a campaign that is built on attacking the opposition. That's the weakest display of leadership anybody can have. Okay? If all you've got to run on is what's wrong with the other guy, that's weak. I said that's weak. You know, the best men will not even bother attacking the other person. They'll just say, this is my vision. This is the direction I would take the country. These are the policies I will enact. And by the way, if you want them, vote for me. If you don't, vote for the other guy. But the mudslinging has become so common in politics that I'm about ashamed of our young people to have to watch it. And you know what I'm kind of hoping? I'm hoping that all the little crooked Joe and sleepy Joe, you know, folks, I'm sorry, that is the President of the United States, and that's still disrespectful. And what's it teaching our children?
Right.
Well, it's true. Well, there's a lot of things that are true that shouldn't be said about me and you.
Yeah.
You know, folks, just adopt this in life. You know what? Don't be, somebody else wants to get down there and play that game. Let them play that game. You know how many people have criticized me through the years that I've never answered back one word to them or about them ever? Yeah. You know, why don't you choose to do that, preacher? Because if I do, then I'm down on the same level they are. And folks, listen to me. If you'll be humble and you'll let God answer for you and you'll just focus on doing the right thing the right way, I think God will bless it. I really do. Number next, what can our leaders learn from Nebuchadnezzar? The same God who set you up can also bring you low. Folks, I'm not going to reread it, but this to me is something that I think ought to be required reading for everybody that declares a candidacy for anything. I don't care if it's the school board. Because this man that in 1 minute raised his fist up and beat his chest and started talking about I and my great power, for the next 7 years, he ran around in the backfield eating grass like a beast of the field. And folks, God, in a second, I don't care, preacher, I'm this and I'm that and I have this and I have that and I've got this money and I wield this power, and you won't take the next breath if God doesn't let you. Man alive, let's just stay humble, folks. The same God who sets up a man can bring him low. Last thing, we're done. Even towards politicians. Think about this great, wonderful truth to end with. Even towards politicians, God is the God of a second chance. And aren't you neat the way this story ended? You know, God didn't have to end it that way. He could have let Nebuchadnezzar go out there and live as a beast of the field for 7 years and then die curled up against a tree stump somewhere. But you know what? When Nebuchadnezzar woke up and was willing, got to the place where he was willing to recognize God for who he was, you know what God did? He reached down, lifted him back up, and restored him. And you know what? This wicked old king, that earlier in the story was crediting Daniel's ability to interpret dreams to the fact that he was possessed by the gods. Next thing you know, we're not hearing anything about little g gods anymore at the end of the story. He's exalting the one and true and only God. Well, preacher, who's going to be our next president? Whoever the Lord sets up. And you know what? God's wiser than us. And he's better than any one of us. And he's more perfect than every one of us. And every one of us has made mistakes this week and probably today. But God's never made a mistake. Okay, everybody, I know it's been kind of a terrible thing that we've had to, you know, kind of experience and watch on TV and try to, you know, process. But let's just all take a breath tonight. Let's remember this. God's still on the throne.
Amen.
He doesn't vacate that throne for anybody. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for being in control. And some things that happen down here, Lord, sometimes shake us and cause us to begin to question. And Lord, sometimes if we're not careful, we can even have some unbiblical responses and reactions to it. But Lord, this young man, this preacher, as a brand new baby, came into this world under a president that some of the kids don't even recognize his name. And men have come and men have gone. And men have seemed to wield the most power on this planet. But Lord, you can go visit their graves today. And Lord, I know this. I know that there's a God in heaven that loves me. And I don't have to wonder if he loves me. Because you sent your son. You proved it. And you sought out Jerry Ross, just a little boy, born into a lost family, and you helped me and my family get to a gospel preaching church, and you helped me find Jesus. And Lord, I've not always understood everything that you've allowed and everything that you've done, but Lord, I just decided a long time ago, I don't need to understand it. I just need to trust you. Just reach up as a child would reach up into the hand of a father. I just want to, Lord, lift my heart up to you and just trust you that you're going to be good and that you're going to take care of me and my wife and my children and my grandchildren, Lord. If you do allow some things that I would just as soon not happen, Lord, I trust that you have greater purposes. So, Lord, may our faith be strengthened. We pray these things in Jesus' name.